This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. We hope you'll stay tuned. And we're joined by the Reverend Jim Wallace of the Sojourners Community and Sojourners Magazine.
Sojourners is a community here in the inner city of Washington, D.C. We're about 20 blocks from the White House, where kids go to bed at the sound of gunfire at night. We have a neighborhood center for kids, and it's kind of a safe place and a place where kids, in fact, turn their lives around. And our first batch is coming back from college now, after starting when they were 5 years old. The magazine talks about faith, politics, and culture, and the connection between them. Those are the topics you're not supposed to talk about at a cocktail party. They get you in trouble. We talk about them all the time. And basically, at the heart of it is that we think faith should be put into action. A lot of times, faith is just words, often sometimes hypocritical words, sometimes even hurtful words. But faith should be put into action. And what would Jesus do is a question my mother always asked us kids to ask ourselves. And that can be asked of politicians. What would Jesus say in the face of record prosperity and rising inequality, of alarming child poverty rates when the NASDAQ makes an all-time high of 44 million people without health insurance? Those are issues I think Jesus would speak on, and often we find the media preoccupied with other kinds of religious issues. Sojourners for years have been building a network across the country of people from all kinds of churches, all kinds of traditions, and Call to Renewal is really putting that together around the issue of poverty. So we have evangelicals, Catholics, black churches, mainline Protestants together, and we issued a covenant last week from the Capitol steps, covenant to overcome poverty with a 10-year campaign, very specific, very concrete, and we now have all the churches ready to go with this thing.
I would like us to talk about the covenant to end poverty. I'd like to perhaps, though, kind of go to the broader social political perspective, if we can, because on the one hand, we're almost daily treated, if you will, to one or more of our political candidates, you know, expressing their faith in Christianity. At the same time, they are very, very much often proposing programs that hurt the very people. I don't pretend to be a biblical scholar by any means, but certainly my cursory understanding of the New Testament is about a person, allegedly the Son of God, who talked about helping the poor and making those who are at the bottom of the any socioeconomic ladder throughout history, bringing them into something of inclusion, but yet these same people who profess their faith in this religion are very often putting forth programs that exclude people. I mean, from your perspective, how do they do that?
They don't read their Bibles carefully. It is true that most people in this country, whether they're Christians or my Jewish friends or people who aren't particularly religious at all, if you ask them what Jesus stood for, what he represented, they will say what you just said, that Jesus stood with and for those who were on the outside, dispossessed, poor and oppressed. He ate with sinners and prostitutes, and he talked about a new community that made room for everybody at the table. Poor people are not on the agenda in this election year, and many of the candidates who say they admire Jesus haven't put poor people on their agendas. And so Sojourners has always said that these things at the heart of the gospel ought to be the heart of our lives. So we're talking about changing neighborhoods and communities and building networks that can make a difference. And in the election year, this Call to Renewal Federation of all these church leaders and grassroots organizations, we had 500 faith-based organizations together here 10 days ago to strategize about how to do this. And we're indeed trying to say that, in fact, we got to be clear about Jesus, about the things he was clearest about. So I think, indeed, this is a message that is going to be more and more raised up, that the issue is not what happened at Bob Jones University, for example, in the big headlines last week. The issue is If we say that we have a religious concern here, then let's deal with the issues the Bible talks most about.
We're talking with Reverend Jim Wallace, co-founder of Sojourners. Reverend Wallace, on the one hand, there is a tremendous infusion of religion into secular politics, though it seems that while organizations such as Sojourners and others that I've been involved with in Central America, for example,
we
really only hear one voice, if you will, of the Christian community, and that's the religious right.
Well, that's why we have radio stations like yours, I guess, right?
Well, I would like to hope so.
I think the media has been so focused on basically 25% of the Christian population votes with the religious right. Now, they don't even have the majority of the evangelical Christians on their side. They don't have the Catholics. They don't have the black churches. They don't have the mainline Protestants, and they don't have the Jews for sure. So we're talking about a very well-organized and vocal segment of American religion that has created the impression, with the media's help, that they stand for American Christians, and they don't. And the Call to Renewal was an effort put together by very mainstream organizations. The National Association of Evangelicals, the NAE, is part of the Call to Renewal's coalition, and they represent 40 million evangelicals, and they care about this issue of poverty. And in that coalition, you'll have differences about how those groups might feel about other issues, differences on abortion, on whatever. But on this issue of poverty, we are united, and we are determined to raise a different kind of voice up.
If we're talking about a minority, if you will, of the Christian community, how is it that they seem to wield so much power? I mean, I'm thinking in terms of, for example, John McCain comes out and speaks out about Bob Jones University and
right.
speaks out about Reverend Falwell and Pat Robertson, and it seems to me that that was the moment that his candidacy for the Republican nomination was completely derailed. I mean, for being such a small group, they seem to wield a lot of power. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, first of all, as the several newspaper reports in the past 6 months have demonstrated pretty convincingly to me, that they were always using a lot of what I call smoke and mirrors. Their numbers were always inflated. They didn't command the kind of presence and power that they would like us to think that they do. But they have gotten into the Republican Party, and they represent a constituency power base within the party. So the Republican Party has got to decide, you know, what it wants to stand for. McCain was saying that their influence of Robertson Fall was in his view, as a Republican, too strong within the party, and he was calling for a more independent party. And the Republican Party is going to have to fight this issue out. What's going to be the role of the religious right within the party ranks? In the broader society, I think their influence is declining significantly. The Christian Coalition is in tatters and ruins, basically. They have no real on-the-ground organization. They have no infrastructure left. Their leadership doesn't have any profile anymore. I think they're in serious trouble. Jerry Falwell's organization, Jerry Falwell was a preacher of a large church in Lynchburg, Virginia, but there's no moral majority anymore. There's no network. There's no organizable constituency. So even conservatives say that Falwell has no real political influence. And I think sometimes people who disagree with the religious right sometimes can be overly fearful of their influence and their power. I think their influence is declining, and I think what's instead coming to the fore is religious people who are raising other kinds of issues, like I see living wage campaigns all over California. And those are often led by ministers and rabbis and religious people, as well as unions and low-income people. I see sweatshop campaigns focusing on 4,500 sweatshops in Los Angeles, often, again, led by religious people of faith is leading that. It's a group in New York. So I think there are a lot of very hopeful signs, and I don't want to be too alarmist about a very vocal minority on the right who are saying the same things over and over again. But I think the more important story is that there are hopeful signs among people of faith who want to change their neighborhoods and make a difference in their communities.
We're talking with Reverend Jim Wallace, co-founder of Sojourners Community, also editor-in-chief of Sojourners Magazine. Reverend Wallace, let's talk, if we will, about some of those hopeful signs and actions. There is the call to renewal. I'd like to talk about that. What I'd like to ask you, though, is it seems to me from my experience in other parts of the world that there have been cases where, quote-unquote, the church has been much more involved in trying to assist people in improving the day-to-day conditions of their lives than has heretofore been happening in the United States. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think it's a historical question because in the last century, you had Christians, even evangelical Christians, helping to lead movements like the abolition of slavery and women's suffrage and fighting for child labor laws. These were the evangelicals of the 19th century, and they were, in fact, social reformers. And in this century, of course, we just gotten out of was the Civil Rights Movement. Martin King was a Baptist preacher, and the black churches were the core, the animating core of the civil rights infrastructure in the South. So I think we've got lots of examples of religion being on the side of social justice. You also have, in this last century just finished, you have the privatizing of faith, where, you know, religion is for just my own private experience. When you have that with religion, you have that in a lot of New Age enthusiasts, where you know, spirituality or religion is you know, for the private personal experience of the possessor. And I just finished a book called Faith Works. It's coming out in a couple of weeks. I'll be in California soon about that. And, you know, the point of the book is that spirituality or faith is tested in action by putting it into practice, by making a difference in our lives, our neighborhoods, our nation. And I think we have a good tradition of that kind of religion. And you mentioned Central America. We both have spent some time there. And we know the stories of Oscar Romero and the Jesuit priests and the Marinole women and all of the people in those communities who paid the price, often with their lives, for putting their faith into action. Desmond Tutu is a friend of mine in South Africa. The whole anti-apartheid struggle was led in large part by churches. So we have a wonderful history of religious people who are putting their faith into action. And I think that story needs to be told.
I think that's a really interesting point that you make. I mean, a couple of them. I mean, of course, the phrase faith without works is dead comes to mind.
Right.
But there really has been a rather long history of religious involvement in social causes in the United States. And perhaps to some degree, and I'm feeling like it had happened to me as well, that it really kind of got swept aside by what has really been a very, very small and short-term movement in terms of what has been come to be referred to as the religious right.
Right.
It's very, very interesting, and thank you very much for sharing that with us. We're talking with Reverend Jim Wallace of Sojourners Community. Reverend Wallace, let's talk about the call to renewal and what are some of the specifics of that.
The call to renewal was an effort, first of all, to offer an alternative to the religious right initially, and involved, as I say, Catholic bishops and heads of mainline churches and black church leaders and evangelicals who didn't feel represented by Mr. Falwell or the Christian Coalition. And so they came together and said, there's another voice, another way. But then it became focused much more on poverty than the religious right. And so now we have this covenant to overcome poverty and a 10-year campaign to implement that covenant. It has things like a living family income as a commitment or affordable health care for all Americans. And you've got a 7-plank campaign that we put forward on the steps of the Capitol just last week. And it was remarkable the unity that was there between evangelicals and Catholics and black churches who don't agree on everything, to be sure, but agree on this question. Or Rich Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals said, the Cold War among religious groups over the poor is over. And that was a very powerful kind of prophetic statement pointing to the future here. And so we're organizing now across the country, and of faith-based organizations and churches, and a lot of my friends in synagogues and other places are wanting to be a part of something that makes a difference, puts faith into action. And so Call to Renewal is a network and becoming a voice to express that vision.
I'm thinking as you're talking about having relatively recently returned from Seattle, Washington, mm-hmm. at the protests that were going on up there and at the World Trade Organization, there really does seem to be a renewed sense of people and groups looking at the direction that much of the world has been going in,
yeah.
and saying, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to reject that sort of savage capitalism, I think is how the Pope referred to it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to reject that for something that is based in a more ethical and moral set of values as compared to simply just making money and having stuff.
Absolutely. I was in Seattle the night of the opening night in the cathedral, St. James Cathedral, where Jubilee 2000, this remarkable, again, faith-based movement that includes lots of people. Bono is a part of it, and the Pope. Bono and the Pope are together on this. That they're trying to cancel a third of the debt of the most impoverished countries in the world, and they're having great success. I've been a part of this from the start, and they had this cathedral service. It was packed, just packed. It was electric in that cathedral. And here was the Sunday night, just before the week of protests, and they were reading from Leviticus 25, which is this biblical jubilee, an old Hebrew tradition which says that every so often, every 50 years, you've got to, slaves are freed, debts are canceled, and land is returned to its proper owners. A very radical notion of leveling and restoring the balance and justice again. And here is Leviticus 25 being read from the pulpit of St. James Cathedral as a relevant rule for global trade and new economy, you know, which is a really exciting thing. And we were there, all of us, for the week to say that, you know, yes, it's a global economy, but there are going to be rules. Someone's going to make the rules. Who do the rules benefit, and who do they, in fact, punish? And that the rights of workers, the rights of children, the rights of the environment itself, the rights of future generations have to be protected by the rules of a global economy. And the World Trade Association, you know, they're hoping for a very quiet kind of meeting of these very very elite people, and all of a sudden, oh my goodness, it's a public discussion.
Well, they sure didn't get a quiet meeting.
No, globalization and the rules of global trade and things like the world debt are now going to be a public conversation. And that's a very important thing.
Jubilee 2000, in the whole Jubilee movement, is actually being fairly successful. I mean, there are actually now major world governments that are acknowledging the need to do something about the debt of many so-called third world and developing nations around the world. I mean, this is being successful. This is not just rhetoric.
Not at all. On April the 9th, you should tell your listeners to come to Washington for a big Jubilee 2000 rally. As part of a whole week of action here in this town to raise the same issues that Seattle raised. And indeed, you know, Tony Blair and even Bill Clinton is talking. Even Republicans in the U.S. Congress are talking about the rightness of this cause. And so we're seeing movement that we didn't really expect to happen this quickly. And you've got the head of the World Bank and the head of the IMF now know what Leviticus 25 says, which is amazing. They know what the biblical jubilee is because they've had a deal with Catholic bishops and the Catholic religious women who are grassroots organized, and they've had a deal with this movement to say that this debt is intolerable, and it's burdening the world's poorest people, and it's crushing these nations, and there's nothing we can do to overcome poverty until we break the chains, they would say, of this third world debt.
We're planning on addressing those very issues later this month when Dennis Brutus is our guest to talk about Jubilee and also to talk about the upcoming meeting and I'm sure massive protests that will be taking place when the IMF and World Bank meet in Washington, D.C. We're talking with Reverend Jim Wallace of the Sojourners Community. Reverend Wallace, we just have a few minutes left. Any final thoughts for our audience today?
Well, I think, you know, there's sometimes a fear or a concern about religion on the part of progressive people. I got kicked out of my church at 14 over the issue of race, became involved in the civil rights and anti-war struggles, and I'm come from the progressive movements. But I, you know, came back to my faith, and I just want to say that religious movements and spiritual movements, most successful social movements have some kind of spiritual base. And I think we needn't be afraid of, because of the religious right, you know, don't let them control what we think about spirituality and religion. Define it, you know, in a different way, and we have historically done that. And so I want to see an inclusive, open, spiritually based movement that has moral values, has religious people, has people who aren't religious but are spiritual people saying, like the civil rights movement was a political movement with a spiritual base. King said, I want a beloved community here. That kind of vision can call us to our best selves, and I think the faith community ought to play a leadership role in bringing that about.
If people wanted to get more information about Sojourners and the call to renewal, how they could participate, how would they do that?
Well, we have a website, www.calltorenewal.com, calltorenewal.com, or sojourners.com, two websites, magazine and Call to Renewal, and an 800 number, which is 1-800-714-7474, 1-800-714-7474.
We've been speaking with Reverend Jim Wallace of the Sojourner Community, also editor-in-chief of Sojourners Magazine. Reverend Wallace, thank you for being with us on the program today.
My pleasure.
We would like to have you on again at some point in the future.
Okay.
Thank you very
Take
much.
Care.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the program today. I'm your host, Mike Thornton, and it's been my pleasure to be part of the team bringing you Full Logic Reverse. If you'd like more information about FLR, you can contact us via email, flr@jps.net, or by telephone, 530-271-0804. We invite you to join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.